Well, you've just listened to Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, The Odyssey by Symphony X, and Ina Gadda Da Vida by Iron Butterfly. Join me again next week for another 5.5 hours of great music on this Django Dark Totems, songs over 12 minutes in length.
GoRogue.com.
You are listening to Goro Radio. In just a moment, what the Chinese papers say, but before that, a quick sports bulletin. We can go over to Darren von Schmalhausen at Happy Valley Racetrack in Hong Kong, where the Massingbird Cup has just finished.
Yes, a very exciting race today, very exciting finish to the Massingbird Cup. Coming to the last bend, the favourite Shooting an Elephant just in the lead, ahead of Pickman's Model, edging up on the outside, tucked in right behind the two of them, Tonio Kroger by Thomas Mann, with Shredney Vashtar, an outsider, just about staying in contention. Tonio Kroger, of course, trying to make a move past the two horses in front of him, but unable to because he's boxed in by Pickman's Model, outside on his right. Then rounding the bend, coming to the final straight there with the finish line in sight, Shredney Vashtar suddenly managed to put on a burst of speed and really flew past everyone, just about taking it by a nose from Shooting an Elephant, with Pickman's Model in third and Tonio Kroger by Thomas Mann in fourth. So that means once again a good win for the Lady Wentworth Stables, the owner of Shredney Vashtar, and again another exciting turnout for this year's event of this, probably the only cup in the world that's exclusively for one-year-old fillies named after short stories or essays of the 20th century.
Darren von Schmalhausen at Happy Valley, which is in Hong Kong. Next up, what the Chinese papers say.
What the Chinese papers say.
And first of all, to the Middle East, where we've had widespread coverage of China's, he was China's first ambassador to Saudi Arabia. The name is Sun Bigan, and in fact, he's been going around being generally diplomatic during the recent contretemps or war in the Lebanon, and but generally not much coverage of what he was actually doing going around all these places, though we did get to see quite a lot of photos of Ambassador Sun surrounded by some pretty badass looking Chinese bodyguards in bulletproof jackets. But this, to some people, has seemed to indicate, is this a new face of Chinese diplomacy, being active in the international arena without being permanently self-aggrandizing? Well, maybe yes, and maybe not. As we found reports from earlier this month, where China's ambassador to the United Nations, Xia Jiukang, told the United States to, and I quote, shut up about China's growing military spending, and went on to say that
the moment Taiwan declares independence, supported by whomever, China will have no choice. We will do the business through whatever means available to the government. Nobody should have any illusions on that. We'll do the business at any cost.
He added,
it's not a matter of how big Taiwan is, but for China, 1 inch of the territory is more valuable than the life of our people.
Because, of course, there's no better way to demonstrate that you care for the population of Taiwan than threatening to kill all of them. And just a quick note, in case anybody thinks we're making fun of Ambassador Shah, we're not. That actually is exactly what he sounds like. Elsewhere, though, people are caring for their country, as the Environmental Agency releases a report naming and shaming the top polluters in the People's Republic of China. The South China Morning Post quotes the agency as singling out several companies, in particular Harbin Gasification, Jinmao Paper, and 22 enterprises of the Xinjiang Production and Construction Corporation, which of course raises several questions. Firstly, is merely public censure going to be enough? Is it enough of a punishment to persuade these companies? In general, what measures are required to make sure that industry conforms to environmental regulations? And thirdly, is gasification a real word? Elsewhere in business, sadly, Shanghai's financial star fading, runs the headline in the South China Morning Post. And they quote Zhou Jianhua, deputy head of the Shanghai Municipal People's Government Development Research Center, saying,
"It's pointless to anticipate Shanghai becoming an international financial hub like New York, London, and Hong Kong in the foreseeable future."
So, yeah, basically the report states that Shanghai is not growing to compete with the top tier of international business cities, and if anything, is starting to fade in comparison to other cities in China. Well, all we can say here at Goro.com is, ha 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 ha, in your face, Shanghai. Ha 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 ha. And finally, the State Council sets winter heating limits, runs the headline in the Beijing Morning Post. The State Council has ordered thermostats in government buildings and commercial centres to be set at no more than 20 degrees Celsius this winter to head off a looming energy crunch on the mainland. Though, once again, presumably missing the point that if you control what people do with their thermostats and when they can turn their heating on, all they're going to do is, just like they did last year and the year before that, they're going to go out and buy electric heaters which use even more power than you're saving by turning the thermostats off. So, you're idiots. That's what we're saying. I'm Harrison Lee. That was what the Chinese papers say.
What the Chinese papers say.
You're listening to Goro Radio. Next up, children's book time. Channeling Pang reads from Naked Lunch by William Burroughs.